You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Got any rights yet? I do.
Just like that, little critter told me down by the coal creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty. Beer in the tackle box out on the flat rock. Baiting that hook with only the right look. Lure in the sunshine, ripples in the sweet tide. Rubber's going out of sight.
Good morning and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with my guest co-host Todd Dutrow, owner of Master Bait and Tackle in Bonita Springs. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning.
And how's things going over there in the coho seat?
It's going good. You guys are treating me well. We're talking fishing. I'm getting
fishing. I mean, breakfast sandwiches over there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keeping things cooking right along.
That's right.
We got several text messages coming in here, which I will get to here shortly. And we are going to head over to line one because we've got Dave Westra with Lear's Economy Tackle standing by. Hey, Dave. Good morning.
Good morning, you guys.
How's things up in North Fort Myers?
Busy.
Still busy.
Busy for August, you know.
Yeah.
Just listening to the show earlier, I mean, we're open 8 to 6, but to have Todd being open from 5:50 or 5:30 to 6 o'clock, those are killer hours.
Yes. He's putting in some time.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're doing our best. I think if I went to 7 a.m. or anything differently, there'd be a riot outside my front door. So I'm doing my best to keep them on the water early, Dave.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're dependent on your bait sales. And, of course, we don't sell live bait at all, so we're not really dependent on that at all. But that's, you know, over the years we've thought, you know, do we want to get into it or – don't want to get into it.
Stay out of it.
We don't want to get into it. We decided not. We don't want to do that.
Well, I tell you what, we have a lot of, we have some regular shark fishermen that will forget more about rigging and shark fishing than I'll ever know. And they come in to get some frozen bonita from me regularly, and they speak so highly of your shop and the things that you offer there. I would never even think of keeping on my shelves, and that's just because you offer such a wide variety to these guys, and it's just your shop in particular is just all the regulars that come in to buy bait from us would never even think about buying tackle from me because you have so much more to offer at your shop. So I just want to let you know that your praises are sang very highly by folks that come into us very often.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I mean, the same applies there too. I mean, you know, in the start of the show, actually, Master Bait was one of the threesome. There was Master, there was Dino, and then there was us. The three of us were doing fishing reports in the early part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
When it first started, and that's got to be, hell, I don't know, it's got to be 20 years ago anyway.
Yeah. Time flies, doesn't it, Dave?
Yeah, when you're having fun.
So what are the reports like from coming up from the river, and what are the offshore reports like, Dave? What's the scoop?
The offshore reports have still been kind of crazy, although, you know, it's obviously slowed down when the red snapper thing ended right there. But
yeah,
there's still a lot of folks going out, and they're catching gags, they're catching red grouper, yellowtails, a little bit of everything offshore. I actually had a fairly decent cobia report from one of the guys that was off of on a wreck offshore, and it picked up some coves. So the offshore fishery has actually really been continuously been pretty good. Inshore river, our salinity level in river, like I mentioned last week, is off the charts for this time of the year. It's over 10 parts per thousand, which is for this time of the year is not normal. I was glad to read in the paper today, there's an article in there, but the turtle nestings in our area is on a record pace. There are more turtle nests than they've ever been sighted before, and that maybe has to do with us not being quite as fresh as we would expect to be this time of the year too. Maybe a little bit higher salinity, and no, knock on wood, and maybe you can hear this.
Yes, I hear it, Dave. I hear it.
No red tide.
Yes.
so you know, that's a good healthy sign for our area.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. So the offshore reports have been good, and the reports coming in from the river have been good.
Still river's been good.
Good reports about snook.
You know, the little bit of rain that we do get in the afternoon is just enough to push a little bait down the creek or out of the canal system. And, you know, the snook, Jack's redfish, I think even last week I alluded to a point that some people had caught some spotted sea trout all the way up and around the Midpoint Bridge area,
yes,
which is highly unusual for this time of the year. So the fishery is actually seems to be pretty really pretty good.
Yeah, that's definitely a good sign, a very good sign. I've got a question for you, Dave. So we've got a text message that came through earlier that I saved for you from our good friend Murray Richter, our friend who's an author out in Texas, and he said he recently picked up a Penn Battle 3 spinning reel, and he's wondering if you could share some pro tips on care and maintenance.
Well, I'll have to say this about the Battle series. Battle 1 and Battle 2 were not much. They were pretty troublesome reels, gearing-wise and handle wise, and breaking knobs off of the Battle ones and twos. And when the Battle threes came out, Penn made a major change. They changed the gearing system. They basically took the gearing system out of the Spinfisher fives and put it into the Battle 3 series reel. And they improved the way they were making the handles. And so the Battle 3 has been a winner for them. I mean, we basically, because of the problems that we saw with Battle 1s and Battle 2s, we didn't even bother to stock them because they were just a pain in the neck. But when the Battle 3s came out, we saw some improvement in there, so that's what we decided, well, we're going to start inventorying the Battle series as well as the Spinfisher series. From the care and maintenance part of this, we are against hosing of the reels at all. You know, even people say, well, I do a fine mist. Sooner or later, sooner or later, the water is going to push the salts into the reels. So the reels are, side plates are held together with three or four screws that there's a seam that's in there, and so eventually the water and stuff will get in there. We're for wiping it off, wiping your reels off, all of them, with a damp cloth. Doesn't have to be soaking wet, but a damp cloth to physically try to remove the salts from the reel. And then there are areas that I'll just call pivot area, and that pivot area is the area when you open and close the bail, that system pivots on two screws, one on each side of the reel. A little light penetrating oil on that. We happen to use Corrosion X. There are several other different models of that type of synthetic oil on the market. You can use them, but because what you want to do when you use penetrating oil, you want to displace water. You want to get something between the water and the reel itself. The other area that you can put light penetrating oil is just take the handle off, and on the opposite side of the handle, the little dust cap that's on that side, take those off, put a drop of oil in on those two bearings there, and put the handle back on and the cap back on. And that pretty well will do it. Take the spool off occasionally, because if you notice, you have a you have a spool, and on top of the spool is a drag knob. And when you take the drag knob off and look at it, you have a little well there that water can seep into and get into the washer system. So, you know, occasionally pull it, just take the spool off, wipe that off, and put a couple of drops of penetrating oil in that area there and put the drag knob back on there. But it's amazing, really. There's some folks that don't do any maintenance on their stuff at all. All they do is spray it down with a hose. And then from the external standpoint, the reel looks great. It looks like it's brand new. But internally, the salts start to build up on the inside, and next thing you know, you'll have a rusty bearing. You'll have a deposit of salts that are internal into the reel. We've taken as much as a tablespoon of salt out of some of the reels. You know, but then rinse the rod off. If folks notice, if you look at your guides on your rods, most of them have an insert in them.
Yeah.
But there's a little recess around that insert, and the salts just sit in there if you don't remove them. So if you wash everything down with mild soap and water and rinse it off, and then take a towel or a dry rag and wipe the water off of the guides and things like that, you'd be amazed how nice your rod smells after you got finished cleaning it, and how long the guides will last you. Some of the guides aren't always the stainless quality isn't always as high on some rods or some guides as it is on others, and so the tendency is for the smaller guides. They have a real fine wire frame on them. If they get tweaked a little bit, if there's a little bit of rust right there, it gets tweaked, and all of a sudden the insert pops out, and the guide's got a split in it that caused the insert to pop out. But if you keep them cleaned up and keep the water off of them and the salts off of them long term, they'll last you years and years and years before you have to be replacing guys. But
yes.
Getting back to the Battle 3. Battle 3 is right now is a pretty nice little reel, and a large range of sizes from 1,000s all the way up to 8,000 sizes. Bigger reel. So they're actually right now really a decent reel for the money.
Yeah, and Dave, do you recommend
that category?
So for folks, say, who aren't fishing maybe as often as a guide or somebody who's down here seasonally, do you recommend they back off the drags if they're not going to use the particular, you know, the reel for, say, a month or so?
Yes.
For maintenance.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you need to back off on the drag.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that drag knob itself has got a spring in it. You generally can't see it in most of the reels, but it's a compression spring that's in there. And so if that drag knob stays tightened down all the time, it does a couple of things. Sometimes over a period of time, that you'll lose some of that compression, which would be in the help in the range of adjustments that you'd have there. But it also keeps the washer stack that's in the spool from being compressed and sometimes stuck together. If you're losing range of adjustment, odds are your washers are stuck together. And it's generally speaking a series of three metal washers and three brake lining type washers that are in that system. And if water and stuff gets down in there after a period of time, those things will stick together. And you generally go from light drag to tight drag real quick. So they're easily fixed. There's a retaining clip that holds those washers in. You just remove that and take the washers out, clean them off, and put them back in the order that they came out of, because there are two metal washers in there that are generally the same, and there are a couple of washers. There's one washer in there that is not the same. Now, that one thing that Penn has done is they've incorporated their brake lining into a washer system that interlocks with the spool. So some of those reels may not have the three metal washers in there two being alike and one unalike, but the break lining material may be acting as the spool washer instead of the slippage type washer in there. So people need to pay attention how those washers come out. And you don't have to really lubricate them, just clean that area out that the washers fit in and then replace them the way they came out.
Yeah,
but yes,
good.
Back off on the drag.
Good tips, Dave. And then with regards to storage, man, I can't emphasize enough. I know sometimes people try to save a few bucks and they think that, hey, I can just lean my fishing rods and reels up against the corner of my garage. That's gonna really warp your rods. And the other thing is just making sure that you take your lure or your hook and you put it down on the hook keeper. If there's a hook keeper above the cork grip on your rod, don't put that hook or that lure on the inside of your guide or you're going to have problems.
Yeah, and don't store your rods in the summer when you go back north. Do not store them in your shed. Do not take them and put them in your shed outside. The heat that's in that shed during the summer months and the moisture that gets in that thing will work on those reels particularly. But yeah, you're right about don't lean the rods up so that there's pressure towards that tip section, because the rod after over a period of time will take a set. And if it's got a slight curve in it, and people got to realize that your lure, when you cast it, is going to go in a direction that your tip is pointing.
Yep.
And if you have a set that's slightly to the left or to the right, then that's pretty much the way your bait or your lure is going to go. It's either going to go to the left or the right of where you want to cast it. The other thing, too, and it has to do with heat, and people transporting their rods in their car, that also, if you're going to transport them in your car, make sure that the rods are straight and those tips are not loaded by either the line being slightly too tight,
mm-hmm.
so that so there's a slight curve in the rod, because the sunlight and the heat on, I'll say, lesser expensive rods will cause them to warp also.
Yeah, that's a really good tip too, Dave. Definitely. Yep, got to take care of your gear, without a doubt. It's an investment.
It ain't cheap, is it, Dave?
No, I mean, and you know, our good part of our business is service business, and mm-hmm. we see things come in all different shapes. There'll be folks walk through the door that have the line, the hook in a hook holder, but they will have the line will be so tight that the rod has such a curve in it, and they'll come in with two or three rods, and almost like he's coming in with a harp.
Well, now, do you guys both sell rod holders at your, like, Dave, you have rod holders up at Lear's that people can buy, or no?
No.
You don't sell
anymore.
Them? Do you, Todd?
Years ago, there were some really, really good rod holders, wooden, that were available, but it seems like a lot of those companies are gone by the wayside, you know, and there's some. There's a catalog that we've got, and Todd's got it too. It's from Big Rock Sports. Big Rock's mm-hmm. got three or four kind of wooden rod racks in there that people could store their rods on. You know, there are a lot of things you can do in your garage. You can get big U-shaped hooks at Lowe's or Home Depot and screw them into the 2x4.
Yes,
that are in there, and you can lay them in there, and they'll hang horizontally, pretty nicely. But you know, I don't have any more rod racks anymore. We carried them at one time, but then the quality of what I was looking for wasn't quite what we were looking for, and so I just don't carry them anymore.
Yeah, but get one, invest in one if you don't have one, and stop leaning them up in the corner of the garage. That's all I have
yeah.
to say.
Don't lean them.
No. All right, no. Dave. They're playing our tune already.
Go Big Red.
Go Big Red. Have a great weekend, Dave. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
See you, Dave.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. Bye-bye. That is Dave Wester with Lear's Economy Tackle. If they don't have it, you don't need it. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back. This land is my land. From California
to the New York Island. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Todd Dutrow, the owner of Master Bait and Tackle in Bonita Springs. How's it going, Todd?
We're good. Love hearing from these true professionals, Nick and Dave from 239 and Lures. It's great to hear that their business is still busy, even though these dog days of summer. So it kind of shows that these last 2 years, people aren't really going home like they used to. We've got a lot more full-time Florida residents. So for small businesses like us, it's great to hear that they're seeing the same type of numbers that we're seeing as well. So it's great to hear.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And too, from a guide perspective, it's just really nice that our business isn't as heavily focused on season and that we have some more consistency even spread out through the summer. And I know for me, so many people want to get out there and catch peacock bass.
Sure.
So it's been great. And now is really the best time to get out there and take advantage of that now through November until we start getting those cold fronts come through.
Hotter the better for the peacocks, right?
Amen. I mean, yeah, that's it. Yeah. They love it. And right now, you know, they have been really fired up on topwater presentations. Yesterday morning was a little slower. I don't know if it was just because we were, right after the full moon or what the case was. But earlier this week, they were fired up leading up to the full moon. And we were on some really, really, really good bite. So, yeah, it's been really good. And it's just it's nice to not have that big, huge swing.
Sure.
And seeing just a huge percentage of your clientele coming in during the winter and spring, and to be able to have a little bit more reliability in the other periods of the year as
Absolutely.
Well. So, all right, we are going to head over to line one because we've got Betty Bowman with Ladies Let's Go Fishing standing by. So I'm going to grab her call. Hey, Betty, good morning.
Good morning. We're moving and grooving here with some new things for Ladies Let's Go Fishing.
Well, do tell. Fill us in.
Yes, we're bringing back our popular virtual meeting, and listeners can sign in because it's free. We are going to have Steve Carson from Penn Reels talk about the differences of reels, how do you choose, how to keep them working properly, and that's in the evening at 5:30. And then we always have a nice raffle for a pair of Coaston Smith certificates or sunglasses, and a Penn Reel is on there, and anybody can buy raffle tickets. And that helps Ladies Let's Go Fishing continue our efforts to bring women and families into fishing. After that, I'm working on our fall auction that anybody can bid on. Everybody gets good deals at our auctions. And we have September bass fishing in Lake Wales at the Guy Harvey Outpost Resort, September 23rd, the 24th, and then Keys registration is coming in for our Isla Mirada event with a full-day seminar, 2 days of fishing, and a casual fishing fever tournament where you can win a rod and reel or an art print just for catching a fish.
That's fantastic. And when is your next Isla Mirada seminar, Betty?
Oh, it's October 7th through the 9th, and people are learning to sign up soon, so I'm actually booking some boats today. Is, you know, we book boats and we have enough people to fill it. So don't wait till last minute on that one.
Got it. Well, fantastic. Thanks for the update. And I wanted to ask you, well, first of all, I wanted to thank you for coming to the Women's Fishing Meetup the Wednesday night of ICAST. It was good to see you there. And what did you think about having 70 amazing women in one room during ICAST and all the networking and positive vibes that were taking place that night? That was pretty amazing.
It was energizing to see so many women and great role models for other women there. Actually, I'm booking speakers for the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show, and I know you can't, but I'm working on trying to get some more women on stage to give other women something to encourage them to enter the sport. So yep. I'd like to do a meeting like that at the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show, maybe, because there are a lot of women in the industry, and it's really special to get them all in one room, get to know each other.
Yeah, it really is. And it ran the range from tournament anglers, fly anglers, fisheries biologists, just so many women from so many different backgrounds, and seeing them all come together in one place at one time just to network and share ideas on retention and how we can keep more women involved in the sport was just truly fantastic. And hopefully we can do more events like that in the future. So thank you for being there. And thank you, of course, as always, for everything that you do to help educate and empower women in the outdoors, Betty. Certainly appreciate that.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm coming out with a press release focused on the numbers of women in fishing and their impact based on the numbers provided by RBFF at the show.
Yep. Yeah, RBFF is such a great resource for statistics and trends in the industry, without a doubt. So that's great. Well, we are going to hop over to line two because we've got another caller standing by. But thank you so much for calling in, and definitely keep us posted, especially after your Isla Mirada seminar. Let us know how it goes and what the ladies caught out there.
Will do, and they can find information on ladiesletsgofishing.com. I hope to see you August 23rd at our Zoom meeting.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Betty, for calling in. We'll talk to you soon.
Something for everybody. Let's go catch them up.
Absolutely. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That is Betty Bowman calling in with Ladies Let's Go Fishing. And we are going to head over to line two because there's someone standing by that you might know, Todd. Jamel. What's going on, Jamel?
What's up?
The man.
Just call it, check in, see how the boy's doing.
He's doing a fantastic job here this morning. So, yeah, I think we've covered a lot so far, and we still have a lot to talk about. But, Jamel, kind of give us the scoop from your perspective. I know you've been working side by side with Todd. So, what have some of the changes been like that have taken place over the past year for you?
We got a POS system. It pretty much sums up, makes my life a lot easier, ordering, processing, cleaned up the shop, and
yeah,
everything's going good.
Good. That's
for those of you at home that don't know what a POS system is, a point of sale essentially allows you to see what you're selling and what you have for inventory. When Jamel, for the past 12 years, has been the POS system manually at the shop, and he's been keeping that motor running by just looking at the walls and understanding what we have and what we don't. So from an inventory and ordering perspective, we're hoping that it's going to make his life and my life a lot easier moving forward. So it was a big deal for us.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a lot involved with making that update and that transition, like just putting all the data into the system. And
we 8 months ago, we had four different quotes for professionals to come in and implement one. The cheapest quote we got was $18,000 to put one in.
Oh my
so
God.
Jamel and I looked at each other and said, this is going to be a nice fun 10 months together trying to do this on our own. So in August 1st.
So you guys really bonded.
Oh yeah.
To say.
Yeah.
I'm still dreaming of numbers and SKU numbers and UPS codes.
You're seeing them at night before you go to bed, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, Jamel, what's the fishing been like for you? Are you still guiding quite a bit?
I am. It's slowed down like a lot of other people.
Yeah.
Of course, I guide on the weekend, but right now I'm taking my daughter freshwater fishing.
Just awesome.
Picked her up some French toast sticks from Burger King and hitting up a couple ponds. But
perfect.
The good thing about I love the spillway fishing and all this freshwater stuff that's going on. Rainy season, my favorite, especially with the fly rod.
Oh, heck yeah. Absolutely.
I heard French toast sticks are the secret bait for a freshwater tarpon.
I bet you I can get one.
There you go.
So you're getting out there with Kiera this morning. And
yeah.
What's her favorite species to target? Does she have a favorite or she just likes them all?
I think she just likes the rod to bend. And,
yep.
And just like any other kid, getting her out there is what matters the most. I had breakfast with Captain Alex first thing this morning and told him I was going fishing, bringing her out. He was happy about that.
Yeah, well, it's so great to hear that you're getting out there with her and spending that time. It's so important. She's going to remember that forever.
Oh, yeah. She'll outfish me one of these days.
Not yet.
Not yet.
But soon. But soon.
Yeah, very soon.
Well, thanks for calling in, Jamel. It's great to hear from you. We got to get you back in the studio one of these days.
Yeah, we'll get back in there.
Yeah, that would be great.
You got to show me how to catch those peacock bass on the fly.
Well, we'll have to get
book
out there.
Book a trip.
Yeah, book a trip. We'll have to get out there and chase a few. They've been fired up. The next couple of months will be good. So we'll have to make that happen for sure.
So I get them on the fly rod from land.
Yeah.
It's probably 10 times easier on a boat.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be. Because I'm sure you've got all kinds of brush and obstructions behind you when you're trying to cast. It makes it a lot harder.
Gators.
You know what? I don't worry about the gators. I worry about that F-150 going down 41. The fly catches the windshield of the windshield wipers. That's more of a...
You'll be into your backing pretty quick with that one.
Real quick. Biggest fish I ever
That's
caught.
Right.
Well, you guys have a good one. I'll let you guys get back to it. I'll talk to you later.
Well, it was great hearing from you, Jamel. Thanks for calling in, and have a great weekend, and go catch him up with Kiera. Have a great day.
All right, later.
Take care. Bye. Good old Jamel calling in. So Jamel's been working for you, Todd, for how many? Well he's been working for Masturbait for how many years now?
I believe he's been there for 13 years. You know, he's a staple. And it's just he went on vacation to the Keys with Captain Alex Dolinsky for 3 or 4 days. And my wife, Allie, filled in for him while he was gone. And the amount of people that walked into the shop at, 6:02 a.m., expecting to see his face, the amount of "Where's Jamel's" that we got was was out of control. So I mean, he truly is, kind of the face of Master. And when I go out to eat with him, we'll have our servers come up and see him at a table and say, "Hey, I caught a snook at that spillway." And they, you see Jamel. And even before I started working at Master Bait, I would be at the airport. And he's just a very recognizable guy because he's been helping thousands to tens of thousands of people catch their first fish down here for many years, right?
Over a decade,
right?
It sounds
so,
like. Yeah, awesome.
Grandparents and tourists and snowbirds and regulars alike have relied on him to get info, to learn. Again, he's someone that will forget more about fishing than I'll probably ever know. So just having someone like that in the shop is truly invaluable.
Absolutely.
And, Jamel and I spend almost 60 hours a week together. And when we aren't working in the shop, we fish sometimes together on the weekend. And my wife says, that's let you know you guys really like each other. You can't get – when you spend 60 hours a week and then
together
go
in the
fish,
shop and then go fishing together.
That's right. There's something to be said about that working relationship.
Definitely.
So it's great.
All right. We're going to head off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
Well, it's Monday morning, the work week's dawning, and as usual, I'm running late. I need to get my rear in high gear if I'm gonna be there by 8. I'm sitting at the table reading the label on a jar of Nescafe. Yeah, I'm sitting here wishing that I could go fishing, but I gotta go to work today.
We'll be right back.
listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Todd Dutrow of Master Bait and Tackle. We are talking about the transition of Todd taking over the shop a year ago, how things have changed, the journey that he's been on, and how he doesn't get quite as much time to fish as he used to, but
those days
that'll
will come.
Change.
Those days
that'll
will come.
Change.
That's right.
Yep, you got to put in some time initially.
Something
and then,
to look forward to.
There you go. There you go. So do you have a bucket list fish, Todd, that you haven't yet caught here in Florida that you
wow.
want to get out there and chase?
That's a it's a great question. I don't want to say no because I assume that would be silly. I think I've caught almost every species that I have wanted to target. Now it's just the quality of. We were just speaking about black grouper off air.
Yeah.
And now when I do go offshore, we start in the 160-foot, you know, depth and then typically work our way back in from there. And I have not caught a black grouper over 50 pounds. So that's probably the one that is next on my, you know, quote-unquote bucket list of targeting.
Get out there and get on a big, big black grouper.
Yeah. The one fish that had been on my list for a very long time that I was just extremely lucky to run into was Gulf of Mexico wahoo. And I just said, you know, okay, if I ever go to Pulley Ridge or I'm lucky enough to get way out there, then that's something I can do. Well, when we were permit fishing on a wreck about 40 miles off and ran into three whale sharks. And I was on a very small bay boat and was lucky enough to see these whale sharks from our tent. And when we got on top of them, it was loaded with a tornado of amberjack. We're swimming underneath one of the whale sharks along with some cobia. And when we were fighting one cobia, I had two of my buddies with me. One was hooked up to a cobia and the other was hooked up to an AJ. A massive flash of lightning came under the boat. And I said, well, that's a huge barracuda that was living on these whale sharks. We threw a pinfish out with a wire leader and ended up being a 62-pound wahoo.
Whoa!
That was living under these whale sharks. And I still recall, I think we were in 70 feet of water.
What an amazing experience.
Yeah, so that was...
Just be out there and see all that life and then catch a fish like that.
It was neat. So that was my last bucket list fish that was really memorable, being able to find a wahoo of that size, you know, in 70 feet of water off of Naples was pretty neat. But I don't imagine running into many more whale sharks loaded with wahoos in the coming few. So I'll just chalk that
Not
up.
Not something that happens every day.
No, but that was pretty special.
But being in the right place at the right time
right.
sure is an awesome feeling,
right?
All right, we're going to head over to line one because we've got Captain Barry Kuda standing by. Hey, Barry.
Good morning. Happy Saturday. Hey, Todd.
How are you, Barry?
On the radio.
Yeah, good to hear you.
How is it going, Barry? You got a report
man.
For us? What's the latest in the world of Barry Kuda and Barry Kuda's adventures?
The latest is I get my boat back Saturday. I've been dying to have my boat. It's driving me crazy. I don't do well dry. My skin cracks and I get crabby and I'm just hard to be around. And I'm exaggerating, but it will be so good to have my boat back finally. And then I've got a charter the next day.
Well,
so
good deal.
Hitting the road running here, ready to go.
Good. Well, we will look forward to your reports and good to hear that you'll be back out there on the water.
Yeah. And then I'll have all kinds of cool stuff going on, pictures, I'm going to start trying to target tarpon and see if I can't get good at catching tarpon, which would be, in the past, if one shows up, okay, fine. But now I'm going to actually make an effort to find them. And if I can find them, I can catch them. So you know how that goes.
Well, there you go. We'll look forward to your reports for sure.
Yep.
And are you seeing the same thing? You're still getting quite a few calls? You still... staying pretty or, you know, getting a lot of interest for your charters even during the summer months?
Yeah, I've had to turn down charters, which is very frustrating because I got bills to pay. Instead, I'm running up bills, fixing my boat. But, yeah, the charters are there. people ask me, well, when is good to fish? I said, it's always good to fish. This is Florida.
Yes.
The patterns change and the type of fish you're likely to catch change. But I've caught big sheephead in the middle of the summer. They're supposed to be gone. That's not how it works. I catch big fish at slack tide. They're not supposed to bite at slack tide. They do. They're fish. They're so unpredictable in so many ways.
You learn something new every time you get out there if you pay attention. That's for
sure. I know.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's just we just have an incredible fishery here if we'll protect it. You know, my clients say, well, can we keep fish? I say, well, I discourage it. You're paying a lot of money. If we catch something you're legal to keep, I'll clean it for you, but I'd sooner not. And most of them go along with it. And, you know, you look around. I look around in Estero Bay, and I can count 50 boats at a time on a weekend within sight, and they're all fishing almost. And it's like, okay, if everyone catches one fish, how many less fish do we have tomorrow?
Well, I think we're starting to see a shift. I think there's a lot more people who are conscious of practicing catch and release these days. There is less of the meat mentality, so to speak, and people are really understanding, especially after the past couple years and the challenges that we've had with red tides and fish kills. People are starting to really see the difference that it's made having a lot of those catch and release measures put in place. And I think that I'm seeing and hearing a lot more people, especially inshore, who are practicing catch and release, which is good.
And I think that's I think it's true inshore. I do think that the measure of success for folks when they go offshore is how many fish are in the box. And I do agree
with
you.
Well, it's much more expensive to go offshore, too.
It is. And it's just when you see this swing, you know, or shift, as you'd call it, in inshore, and being able to take a picture or get a nice release on a fish, I still do believe that the offshore mentality is how quickly can we get our limit? And, you know, what does our cooler look like by the end of the day? And then getting these death kill shots on the dock when they get back, you know. And I'm just as guilty as anyone. You know, still having that mentality when I go offshore, but, I have not wanted to, or, you know, tried to kill a fish on an inshore trip in probably 5 to 7 years. But when I go offshore, I still find myself thinking, man, I got to get that cooler loaded up, right? Or else we didn't have a good day. So I'm just as guilty as anyone from that front.
Yeah. And I think,
well, and you're right. And the original purpose was to catch fish. I mean, you know, if we want to go back a few hundred years. You put meat on the table, and you're successful when you do. But,
yeah, as long as people are bringing it home and they're eating it and they're taking enough for dinner that night or to share with their friends, so their friends can have a nice dinner that night. But when people just stockpile fish in the freezer and it ends up getting freezer burn, and then you throw it out, there's no point in that.
Right.
There's zero point in that.
Right.
It doesn't taste, I mean, after it's been frozen, it really doesn't taste the same. It's not as good anyway. So, all right, Barry. Well, we've got to head off to another break here. So we will catch up with you next Saturday. But thanks for checking in. It was good to hear from you. And congrats on getting the boat back.
Yeah, thanks. Love you a bunch. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Barry. Take care. That is Captain Barry Kuda calling in, and we are going to head off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
They paved paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go? Got till it's gone. It'd be a paradise. Put up a fucking line.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.